Welcome. This is about Project Impact. So that's, if you're in the right spot, that's the name of this workshop, I think. So how to do what Project Impact. My name is Shane Kammerer, and I've been involved with Project for, I've done three or four of them. So I've been inside and out, so I know a little bit about them. They've changed over the course of the several years, but what Project Impact is a summer training program where you spend 9 to 10 weeks in either Los Angeles or Denver, Colorado, where we have a new opportunity, and he'll tell us a little bit about that, in Norman, Oklahoma. So, and a training program consists of a little bit, and they vary. But the main purpose is obviously to do discipleship, live in a community, work together to do different team evangelism opportunities. One of the big opportunities that we've been doing with the project is that everybody gets a job, a secular job, working at like McDonald's or, you know, if you're lucky enough, maybe The Gap or something like that. So job working, you know, probably usually around 20 to 40 hours, that's what we're shooting for. And so you get to keep what you make. The project out in Los Angeles, which is going to be in Costa Mesa, California, at the University of Vanguard, it costs $2,500. It's a 10-week program. Neil Walker, who's the director at USC, is going to be the director there. And then out at, you know, Colorado Christian University, is Mike Storr and his wife Dee. They're over at OSU. So that's kind of the bare facts. Well, we'll have some question and answer time in a little bit, but what we're trying to do with Project is we're really trying to decide to put people in a situation where they have to make a decision for themselves to really walk with God on their own. And in a real life situation, because once you get out of, you know, school, you're not going to be, you know, just hanging out in the dorm room all the time. So one of the things that we put you in is in situations where you have to work hard, you have to be around lost people, and you have to really deal well with each other in community, and not to steal somebody else's part. They're going to talk about community, but one of the major things that we deal with is just an idea of heart attitudes and changing your perspective and the way you look at life, and putting others first, and how you deal with in community of interacting with each other and clearing up relationships and you know, being honest and open with each other. And so that aspect is huge. It plays a huge part. So the disclaimer on a Project Impact training program is this: is don't go if you don't want somebody to, you know, be in the midst of your life. Does anybody have any questions while we, as we, to start off with? You don't want to do questions now, or you want to talk? You ask a question. I want to get it on tape, so.
Would be the latest for job hunting?
Like in the midst of a training program, everyone has to get a job. So usually about 10 days to 2 weeks, depending on how the calendar falls. But as it starts, you have until like, I think last year was like June 16th was the deadline. And so you pretty much, the day you decide to do it, you can get online and find your job. And so you have all that time to do it. But really, a lot of people find their job when they get there because managers finally get to see you and stuff like that. So, does that answer your question? Anybody else? Does everybody know what the website looks like? have pins. You can remember this. It's goprojectimpact.com. And we promise that before you leave here, it will be up to date and in the way everybody wants it to be. The way we've been doing project over the last few years, as housing prices have gone up, you know, so has the cost of Project Impact. And this year, the cost for the Colorado project is going to be $2,000, and the project in Los Angeles is going to be $2,500. And those types of things, what that pays for is your housing. Some meals in California is going to pay for a little bit more of some group meals and things like that. Housing usually is typically set up in dorm-style living, but quad maybe, how would you describe it, apartment style, where you have like two bedrooms, two baths. That's the way it is in Colorado, and that's the way it is going to be this year in Costa Mesa. What your cost does cover is some. I better not say that. I don't know what it's going to cover, but it covers your speakers coming in. It covers materials. It covers a lot of different items that are miscellaneous throughout the semester and summer, but. That's typically the way the price is run down. So, as far as the housing situation, like I said, Colorado Christian University is in Lakewood. It was Lakewood, right? Yeah. Lakewood, Colorado. Joe can talk to you about that. Costa Mesa, I've been there many times. It's beautiful. You're about 2 miles from the beach, so you got either the mountains or the ocean right there next to you. So both places are great places to spend the summer. The one thing that we've been really trying to do over the last few years is partnering with churches, and that's a huge aspect of how we want you to be able to see real life and see Christians that live, you know, in the real world and how they deal with church life. And we're really trying harder and harder each year to get students plugged into churches, you know, in the area. In Colorado, we've been going to Community of Grace. And in California, we go to several different churches, the main two that we've been going to. Pierpoint out in Huntington Beach, California, and Seabreeze. And both great churches. They love college students, and they're getting used to them coming out each year and participating, like do Sunday school. They helped out with VBS. They've gone door to door, hanging out flyers and different things for different events. So there's a service aspect to it, but also there's just a general trying to get in community with them and learn how they do life and get to know them as people, so, and as fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. So, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to give it to Joe.
My name is Joe Ricks, and I led.
Feel free to ask a question at any time, too.
Yeah, raise your hand if something comes up. I led the project in Denver last summer, and they've asked me to just come and share with you some things, but. I think one of the big things as you're preparing for this summer is to be ready to be taught. You're going to be in a laboratory. That's how I explained it to the students we worked with all summer. And the beauty of a laboratory is it's safe. So you can learn things, and things can be challenged in your life in an environment where you got help, where you got people to help you through something. Shane mentioned like working. One of the major goals with working is not for you to make money. It's a primary tool for where you're going to meet lost people, people who don't know Christ. And you got these opportunities to kind of to make a touch with somebody through your workplace. But you know what? You may walk away from an experience feeling like you failed. But what the project does for you is you got a group. It's not just a director. Mike Story's the director in Denver, Neil Walker out in California. But there's also some staff that go along with them that are usually staff at a campus somewhere. So you got multiple people. You can come back and say, I felt like a failure. And what you might find out is you weren't a failure. You just need a little help with that. That you learn something new. And so project becomes this place where you can be taught. But one of the things I noticed a lot of students last year came into the project, didn't know that's what they needed to do, was to kind of be teachable. And so one of the things I'd encourage you guys is you're thinking about a project for the summer, whether it's this or some other opportunity, come with the attitude of being ready to be taught, because to a certain degree, projects got almost every night of the week you got booked with different things, from evangelism to large group sessions where you're being taught by some great people from around the country that are doing campus ministry or in church work. And it becomes a really good opportunity for you guys to learn. But sometimes we come in to these kind of settings with, well, I already know everything, or nobody can help me. And that's a common, and when I say it's common, Americans think that way. That's what we think we're supposed to do. You guys, right? You're supposed to go to school so you become like the most intelligent person on your subject. And what you find the first day of work when you get your job is that you're not the most intelligent person. And learning to be that teachable heart. But you get to work in this great laboratory environment is what I tell people, where you can try things. Maybe you've never tried to share your faith. Well, you can try, and even if you think you failed at doing it, you're going to have people around you to tell you, well, okay, so let's call it a failure. What can we learn from it, though? As opposed to, I'll never do that again because I failed, which is kind of our model. We can really help you guys out in that area. The other areas that it helps with, and Cindy's going to talk specifically about community, but you guys are going to live in a group of people this summer. And you know what? As you guys already know, if you've lived in the dorms, living with somebody else can be a little bit of a task at times. The first 6 weeks, it's a lot of fun. And then as your roommate doesn't pick up after themselves, or maybe your roommate picks up too much after themselves and wants you to do the same, you start to rub on each other. And it can be tough. And we're going to be part of that teachability is going to be learning how to work through problems with one another. How do we work through this? How do we live in this Christian community? And some of the teachings that you will be sitting under during the evenings will deal directly with those kind of things. And you'll have the opportunity to not just hear this great thought, but to turn around the next week and apply it. And I think that's kind of a piece that is, to me, was the most important part about project was it wasn't, like conferences like this even. You can come and sit and get all this great learning, but you're not really put in a pressure-producing system that makes you have to change your life. You guys can walk away, feel really good this week, and if you don't have some people, accountability people in your life, next week you may forget everything you learned this week, or you won't apply it at least. You'll just say, that was a great conference. Well, project, you won't have that availability to just forget it. You're going to learn something, and then it's going to be put to the test right away. And that scares some people. It may scare some of you to think, well, I don't know if I want to go to project now because they're going to kind of push me. But the thing is, as we try to grow and be like Christ, it's going to happen in the context of community, and it's going to be people pushing us there. The person I am in Christ today is as much about what I've learned as it probably more so the people that pushed me to apply the things I've learned in my Christian walk. And so that's going to become a piece that's going to be real important. And so So as you guys are coming into this, realize this is a training thing. But here's the other part of the training. You don't have to know it all coming into this. This isn't, well, I'm not that good of a Christian, or I'm not that good. We know that. We're hoping to help you. We had students this summer that were 2 weeks saved when they got accepted. And we're hoping to help them establish some things. So don't come in thinking you got to know it all. You know, you don't. If you know a lot of things, you're welcome. If you don't know anything, you're welcome at Project, and we know that God's going to teach you something. And so we just want you to don't come in with those kind of notions that there's maybe I'm not qualified or maybe I'm overqualified or whatever. You're welcome at Project, and there's probably something God can teach you if He's leading you in that direction. So, is there questions? Pause for a second, and I'm going to hand it to Cindy. All right, Cindy.
Well, I'm Cindy Owen, and I work at OU. A lot of you guys know me. But I have been at various Project Impact-like situations. We started Project Impact as High Point many, many years ago at Glorieta. And so I was there at the beginning. And then a few years ago, I was in Chicago. And then just 2 years ago, we tried to start a similar program at Falls Creek in Oklahoma. It's a big youth camp in Oklahoma. And so they're doing project-like things at Falls Creek now, too. But anyway, one of my biggest hearts about Project Impact is learning how to live while you're in the work, while you're in a work environment, how to continue a rich community and a rich relationships with believers while you're in the workforce. And so, first thing first, I want you to turn to somebody that's next to you and meet them if you don't know them. If you do know them, I want you to share something that's been really rich about your Christmas break so far, something that's been really fun. Maybe it's something about being with family, or maybe it's being here, something that the Hemphills have taught you. But just share something with the person sitting next to you about what's been the richest thing of Christmas break. Okay? So turn and meet whoever it is if you don't know them. And then, you got it. If you guys can give me your attention again, I hope I gave you enough time to share some rich and exciting things about the break. Probably the richest thing for me and this break, my both of my grandparents on my dad's side have now passed away. My grandmother just passed away this past fall. And we grew up as a family whenever I was at my grandparents' house. We grew up Christmas Eve listening to this story that was read on an old LP, a record, like the static and everything, the scratches. We listened to it every Christmas Eve with my grandparents when we were at their house, and it's called Why the Chimes Rang. And it's just a special story about a little boy who really learned how to give instead of receive Christmas, you know. So anyway, so my dad went and found it, like on iTunes or something. I don't know, but we listened to it with my nieces and nephews, and they weren't paying attention to it at all. They're too little, like I was when I was at Grandma and Grandpa's. And we listened to it together as a family, and then we got it in our stockings for Christmas on a CD format. It was just really special because it was something, it was memory, you know, or whatever. But here's the deal, you guys, that it's just fun to be able to, that was fun for me to just share that with you. You probably never have even heard of the story, Why the Chimes Rang. But it's a special part of my life, and I like sharing that with you all, even though half of you don't even know me. It's just fun to share your life with other people. And for some of you, you might be like, well, I don't know, I really want to open up or share things with other people. But once you do, eventually, you get to the point where you're like, oh, my life is so much more rich because I have these friendships in my life. I spent 6.5 years at the University of Oklahoma as a student and then on staff. And I grew to understand a really rich relationship, a really rich fellowship time with friends there, with staff there, with people in my church. And then I moved to go to Illinois and to work a job in Illinois. And some of my family was there, but I didn't have the friendships that I had had at OU. And it was about 3 or 4 years of really lonely times. And by about the fourth year, I'm like, why am I not having... What was it like at OU? Why did I have such a rich time at OU? And what I remember was that I had spent time sharing my life in small groups with other gals while I was at OU. And I'd get together with girls every week and share my life and talk with them and pray with them and share my heartaches and share my struggles and share my victories with other ladies while I was there at OU. And I'm sure guys did it too. It might have looked a little different, but they did it too. And so I thought, you know, what am I doing? Why am I not in a small group with women? And intentionally, by this time I was at seminary, but intentionally 4 or 5 of us gals at seminary said, well, shoot, we're all lonely. So let's get together and share our lives with each other once a week. And the couple of them that were married, if they couldn't make it because they had something else to do with their husband, they didn't make it that week. But we covenanted together to spend one night a week together for a couple hours. And then the next 2 years of seminary were so rich because I have these best friends that are still today my best friends, even though once headed to West Africa tomorrow, and the other one's in Kansas City, another one's in Oklahoma City, and another one's in Ohio. And so these gals are some of my best friends. And it was because I realized, wow, living in community with one another and really doing life together is where the richness in life comes. And so while I was there at the seminary, I learned something about the Bible. And I want to share it with you and turn to Romans 12. I probably learned more than something about the Bible was at seminary. I probably learned more than one, but this is one that really sticks out to me. And it's because my Greek professor had such an influence on me understanding that so many of the times where the Bible says you, Y-O-U, in English. See, we don't know in English necessarily if that's a singular you or a plural you, because the same word is used. Unless you're from Oklahoma, y'all is maybe the plural of you in Oklahoma. But it's not written that way in the Bible. And so sometimes we don't know whether this was a singular or plural. And yet, in Greek, they're two different words. The singular you and the plural you are two different words. So if you're reading the New Testament in Greek, you realize that this is being written to a group of people and not just to one individual person. And we as Americans, our filter is individualistic. Everybody in America is individualistic, you know? And so, so in Romans 12, chapter 1, I read it in a couple of translations recently. Verse 1, one that I memorized my freshman year of college. This version says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Now, that verse I memorized in the NIV, and it says, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing, and it's plural. Living sacrifices is plural in the NIV. But here it says, offer your bodies, plural, as a living sacrifice. Singular. And so I looked that up because I was curious. Is it plural or singular there? After I learned all this about the you and Greek, you can kind of tell whether it is or not. And in the Greek, it's singular. It's plural bodies, singular, a living sacrifice. And then you read a few verses later. Let's keep going. Verse 2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is as good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but think of yourself with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. And so in the context there, that singular makes sense. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. And then it kind of took me back to Sunday school, and where we all talked about, well, I'm the hand, and I'm the eye, and I'm the foot, and blah, 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 and all this. Well, I remember that. You know, kind of as a fun little Sunday school lesson when I was a kid. But here growing up and trying to make it in the work world and being lonely when I tried to go it alone and failing miserably and struggling with sin issues I'd never struggled with before as I tried to live alone and seeing the difference that it is when I'm in community with believers. And so how this all fits in with Project Impact. Well, Project Impact is a little bit not true to life in the fact that you're going to be living with probably three or four other people in your room during the summer, which when you get out in the work world, you might not. You might live by yourself, or you might live with a husband or a wife, or it might be a little bit more individualistic. But understanding how to work together in a group of people, how to have that accountability of small group, how to communicate, learning how to communicate well, how to resolve conflict with people that you're working with, and then how to really team together as a group of people to advance the gospel. It's huge. It's just huge. And that's what was going on in the New Testament. Matter of fact, in those early days, that's all they had. Here they are, they're trying to follow Christ, and they're weird because because nobody else in the world has ever followed Christ before. And now they're getting persecuted for it. And at some points, they're even getting killed and beaten for it. And so it forced them to be together. That's all they had was one another. And to some extent, that's all we have. Now, living in prosperous America makes us think differently. Sometimes we feel like we're comforted by possessions and food and or whatever. But really, when it comes down to it, if we're fighting for the advancement of the kingdom of God, we need one another, because it's discouraging. It's discouraging out there. And so Project really does that together. And I don't know, Joe was telling me a story earlier about living in community, and I want him to share that, and Shane could probably speak to it a little bit as well. But I love Project because it really starts to teach you how to really be in community with one another and live, live sharing your life with other people. And it's hard, I tell you. It is not always easy, but it's rich. And I hope you'll understand that. Joe, will you share that story?
This summer, one of the things we teach at Project is the heart attitudes. And the very first one we taught was that I will put the success and interest of others above my own. And when you're looking for a job, now, you guys, I don't know how many of you even had to look for a job in your life. I came from a small town where getting a job was knowing Bubba's dad, you know, and he took care of you. You know, but you got about, I think we had about 14 days to get a job, and we're about halfway through. The first week, everybody's gung-ho. The second week, when you don't have a job yet, a few people have gotten one, gets a little discouraging. Well, we had a gentleman who, at the church we were attending, that owned a roofing business, and he needed four people. He just called me and said, well, pick four people and tell them to come down. And I thought, oh my soul, I don't want to pick anybody, because these kids are, there's like 12 people still needed a job. And I said, I talked to my staff, and we decided it wasn't our decision to make. We would bring this before those who still needed a job, and they would make a decision. And we had one young man that had some physical limitations, disability-wise, and we felt right away this particular job was just simply hanging door hangers on doors and knocking and asking people they wanted estimates for roofing company. And we thought this was the job to get it, because this young man thought he wouldn't even be able to get a job just with his limitations. And so right away everybody said, yeah, let's give that guy the job, one of the jobs. So there's three jobs left, and there's roughly 11, I don't remember the details exactly, 11 or 12 people that need a job. And so they talk, and we pray, and we talk, and, you know, we have all kinds of great ideas, but we really can't figure anything out. And a couple people back out said, you know, I really think I have a good line on a piece of work. And so we prayed, and then finally God just kind of reminded me that there's a biblical process that used to be used that for choosing things like this, and it's called casting lots. And so I shared that with the students. I said, that's one way we could do it. You just simply put your name in the hat, and it's not a game of chance, because you're trusting that God's going to pull the names out of the hat that are the ones he wants to have that job. And so that's what we did. We did that. It was really funny. Some of the people that still had their name in the pot were so glad they didn't get the job, because they would have felt bad if they got a job and somebody else didn't. And so we picked three more people. They took this job, and everybody else got a job except for one guy. The last day, still looking for a job. And these four who got a job at this roofing company went to their boss and said, if we take a $2 an hour pay cut, can we give it to this guy and you could give him a job too? And he agreed. He said, okay. So they were all making 10 bucks an hour. Now they cut down to 8 bucks an hour so that this other guy could have a job with them. And really right away they understood community, and they saw the value of that we need to look out for other people, not just ourselves. See, they could have said, ha, I got my job and I'm happy. But they were deeply concerned about this one person. By this point in the game, we've been at Project now for 14 to 16 days. They didn't want somebody to have to go home because they didn't get a job. This was part of their family. And they said, we'll do what we have to do. And so they took that pay cut. And then the other end of the story was, at the end of the summer, the owner of this business came up and said, we've had the most profitable year we've ever had. And he says, I think it's directly because your students gave their heart to God. Because this guy was a believer, and he really felt it was because they sacrificed so much that he got a side blessing of their presence. And then another side note I heard later on is, one of the guys was with Mike Story's ministry at OSU. And he was horrified of what he had to do this fall, which was he's going to live in the dorms and like lead a Bible study and have to knock on doors. Well, he got to knock on doors all summer long, and he got really good at it. And so it even trained him for something he never saw coming. But that's what community's like. And it was such a vivid picture that these guys said, you know what, we'll give up $2 an hour. And we'll do this and make this job. And the young man that took the job, he was just beside himself. He came from a background where his dad was a salesman and you take care of yourself. And he didn't know what to do other than thank God that he had a job. But it just totally blew him away because his background was not such that somebody should have sacrificed like that for him. And so that's just an experience that happened at Project. And I doubt it'll be repeated because it seems like God doesn't repeat things exactly. But I think there'll be similar type experiences as you guys dive out there. So we're going to give the mic to Dave here in a second. But is there any questions? And Shane's got something here. Any questions so far? Usually that's up to the individual directors is how we dealt with that summer. If you tell them ahead of time with enough notice, that's usually not a problem. We let a couple people do that this summer. I mean,
it's probably
life
usually,
happens.
It's, I mean, a couple of days is one thing, but you know, like a week, something like that. I mean, they're getting married in Japan. That might be a deal breaker. So, to rehash then, I just wanted to reiterate some stuff. Is that Project Impact is a summer training discipleship program. Okay, heavy on the discipleship in aspects of, you know, are your personal growth. We're going to deal with your personal growth. We're really going to want you to learn how to read your Bible for yourself and have a quiet time and deal with that between you and God and really develop your relationship in a one-on-one way with Him. The second thing about that is we really want you to start memorizing Scripture. You will walk away from Project Impact with Scripture memorized, cold. Because we will, you know, hurt you if you don't. No, I'm just kidding. No, I mean, there's a intense accountability about that because that's something we really hold really high is the Scripture memory. The other thing is you will share your faith. Whether it's somebody you work with or whether it's somebody you just meet, you will share your faith with people. And you will also be required to work with each other to try to think in ways that you can get around lost people. So your paradigm will shift in ways where you're really trying to look out for the interests of not only the people around you, but also the lost people that you see every day. And so you're trying to think about, how can I interact with these people? How can I get my life going in their direction? And so those things, and the big one, I think, the really huge one for me anyway, is the community aspect that Cindy's been talking about. This aspect of really putting yourself down for the other people that you're around. 10 weeks, you're going to come away with some of the best friends you'll ever have. If you think about it this way, and it's 10 weeks, 9 to 10 weeks, and you're living with these guys every day, you're doing probably about 50 hours worth of, you know, stuff. Like, you know, like hanging out with people, you're going to small groups. The average college student doesn't spend that many hours a week doing stuff for, you know, BSU or, you know, BCM. It's probably like 3 years worth of, you know, growth, I feel like, as far as at least activities. Now, whether you take it from activity to personal transformation, that's a totally different thing. That's up to you. The idea of Project is that we want to see people not just conform to the summer and walk away and go, yeah, that was something I did, but to really be, you know, transformed by the things that they've learned. And they walk away and they've, you know, now you have a really strong, quiet time. Now you have really the ability to memorize Scripture, that you're not afraid to walk up to somebody's door and share Christ with them. So that's it in a gist. But ask us questions afterwards. Everybody, it'd be whatever your question. If you didn't have a question here and you think of one, just come and find one of us. And Dave, why don't you tell us about your opportunity?
Well, as I've listened to this, do you mind if I brag on you guys for a minute? I'm a parent. Well, first of all, I'm a church planter here in Norman. My name's Dave Edwards. River Church is the name of our ministry, but I'm a parent of four. Of my four kids, three have either been in High Point or in Projects. My oldest son, neat, brilliant kid. He's in law school right now, a bit timid, came back from High Point, a natural leader. and he came back with the woman he married. Now, I know that's not what you guys push.
We do have a better success rate than Harvard.
You know, that is, I am not going to tell you you're going to get married as a result of that. But my wife, Nancy, and I, back before any of this was ever thought of but by the Navigators, back in 1976, led a summer training program in Manhattan, Kansas, and fell in love. I don't remember anything else we did that summer, but I got a wife out of the deal. But from a parent's point of view, if you're wondering, what are my folks going to say? I don't know what your folks are going to say. The first thing they're going to gripe about is the money you got to raise. So let me just tell you that that's going to happen. Don't sweat it. You'll get the money raised. It'll be worth it because, let me tell you about my youngest daughter who was in California this summer at Project. She was a freshman at OU. She was not only our youngest, but she was a gap, a five-year gap, which means for all practical purposes, she's kind of an only child. It was one of those dynamics. And she went out there really timid, and she'd been a freshman. I mean, some of you have had that experience. And she'd probably admit it, she was selfish. She had a rough summer. Finding a job was really, really terrifying for her. But she did it. She'd call home, we'd encourage her, she finally found a job. And then she starts ministering to girls at work. The place she was, house she was living with, the apartment she was living with, they started studying these seven heart attitudes. They studied the one Joe just talked about. And she starts applying these things to her. Well, she lived in the dorm last year at OU, but this year she's living back at home with Nancy and me and saving a little money her sophomore year. She's a different... She knows it, and we know it. It is a remarkable relationship we have with our daughter. I talked to her last night. She's in Cambodia over Christmas with her older sister. And just something happened in our family as a result of what happened to her at Project. So, guys, thanks. These things really work. So if your folks are going to give you a hard time, well, you still have to talk to them. But you can tell them, well, I heard this guy at the conference who's got three of his kids that went through it, and they're better because of it. So our church is doing something. It's technically not Project, but it looks just like Project because I've been watching Project through my kids now for years. We're going to do something in Norman. They were talking about how beautiful the coast is and how beautiful Colorado is. If you stay in Norman this summer, the highest thing in town is the water tower and this football stadium. Why Norman? According to North American Mission Board, Norman is the most unchurched city in the state of Oklahoma, one of the more unchurched cities in the United States. It is a hard town to reach people in. And the churches are dying, Baptist churches in particular. So we're trying to find new things to do. I brought along some information for what we're going to do. I won't pass around, but if you want it. We're calling this thing at the moment YTBN. What does that stand for? Well, it's yet to be named. That's what that means. The girl that was going to do my publicity for me over Christmas couldn't get on the internet where she was at some relatives, and so she couldn't put together. So I threw together the facts yesterday, but here's what we're doing. This summer we're doing... a two-month ministry is for university students to develop, and it's conducted by our church with the purpose of addressing the question, how do I prepare for life after college? Here's what you'll experience. One is while you're here, you'll participate either in a church planting in Norman or in Oklahoma City. We'll be sponsoring a church plant in Oklahoma City this summer. You probably don't even know about that yet. This is so new. But we're going to be starting a church, and some of this group would be a part of that. Topics we're going to address is how do I discover and align my life with a personal mission? How do you figure that out? It ain't as easy as most people think. Second of all, what does ministry look like after college? It's very different than it is in college. Third, how do I make it through the first year after college? Most university students, once they graduate, give up on most of what they learned in college about ministry. And they just go to default. Our church is developing a one-year process of getting people through that transition year. And we'll dabble in that for those that are with us this summer. And fourth thing is my faith ready to endure the pressure and opposition I'm going to face when I get out of school? When is it? Well, we're going to basically tuck ours in with the summer coursework at OU. So it'll be end of May, 1st of August. What will it cost? We're going to ask you to raise $1,200. So that price may need to change. This will cover things like has already been mentioned. We're going to ask you either to get a daytime job, or some of you may need some hours. And so if you need to take some coursework at OU, that you can do that. And here's the application of how it applies. If you're not an OU student, I'd been asked to come and make this presentation by the OU staff and by Max Barnett, just so the people know what's going on. I'd start with project. If I were you, I'd start a project, unless there's some really good reason to tuck in with this, because this is our first year. We're going to start small. We will consider applications from students from out of Norman and that aren't currently in our church. We're going to target our church, though, because they know what we're doing. We're going to try our first year and do it right so that next year, if we do this again, we can widen it out. So don't hesitate to apply, but I just need to let you know this is going to be a fairly limited opportunity because it's our first time. And we want to do it right instead of do it big and do it poorly. So until we have a better name for it, it's YTBN.
GoProjectImpact.com has applications on it. Don't be scared if it says 2009. You can still fill it out, and we'll take it for this year. Those things will be changed. Like I said, the website's still in process of getting fixed. There is two different places that you do send these. So once you decide which one you're applying to, you can apply to both of them. It's fine. But once you decide that, you need to look on there and see where you're sending it to. If you don't have access to, you know, email or something like that, you can send it to Norman, or you send it out to LA, depending on which one you're looking at. Application process is real simple. It's you fill out everything there is to know about yourself on this, you know, about 6 pages. And then you need 4 references, you know, of people that, you know, would be trustworthy. And then you'll get them to send it in by them on their own. Typical things like that. The deadline is February 1st. So you might want to think about this quickly, because there's a couple of factors that really play out, is raising funds and getting jobs. Because a lot of you, I don't know, might be really, really rich and can just write a check for $2,500 or $2,000, depending on which one you go to. But we really want you to raise it, because we want other people involved in the process and knowing what you're doing this summer. And it gives you an opportunity to share with other people the type of things that, you know, God's doing in your life. So that's one really big aspect of this. And it's really hard to raise that much money in about a week. So, and God's done that. But once you decide that you want to do this, you need to head full steam ahead right into it and start the fundraising process. And a lot of those, everything that you would want to know about fundraising, well, not everything, but there's a lot of stuff on the website about how to go about raising funds. And that's another thing that you need to ask your BCM director about,
because they'll probably have some ideas to help you out with that. That's a huge thing. It's hard. It's not easy. But it is, you know, it is doable because God can, he's in charge of all the money anyway. So the other thing is jobs. You really, really got to get on it if you want to do it, because jobs are hard to find. And they just, a lot of people think that they're just going to walk in and, you know, the sheer, you know, magnificence of themselves is just going to walk in and guys ain't give them a job. But it is kind of a hard thing to do. You know, the best, you know, one of the guys here, Jeremy Walker, he reasoned before he even went that he was going to work he was going to flip burgers. He got a job really, really quick. So some of it is that, and some of it's just opportunity and timing and things like that. But God really wants to speak to you through, I think, your employer and how you interact with him and her is going to really, I think, shape some of your summers. Those are huge things right there. As far as making money this summer, don't go tell your parents that you're going to get to have a summer job and make a lot of money. Most people, the hard fact of it is every once in a while we'll have somebody that comes back with a whole lot of money because they had a great job. The fact is that this is not so much about you making money. So if you have like a student loan out and you might need to go to school this summer, don't try to negotiate this if this isn't right for you. You need to be responsible about this, because like a lot of students have gone back and they've only made probably, you know, $500, $600. Some have made $3,000, but I wouldn't bet on that, because that's not what this is about. Joe kind of talked about that a little bit. This is a lot, way more about you and your personal growth, you know, with Jesus Christ. So, does anybody have any questions before we get out of here? Can you think of anything else, guys, that we need to talk about?
Yeah, I would, you know, with only having about a month here to prepare, make sure your parents are a key piece of this. They are. A lot of times as students, we forget that. And, you know, let them know. The sooner you can let them know you're thinking about something, it's not as much of a bombshell on them, especially if they thought you were coming home this summer. So I tell that to a lot of our students, because they'll drop this on their parents as they're filling out the application when it's due tomorrow. And that's, you know, it's a little bit of a shock. If you're coming from a family, you know we'll have some resistance. The more time you can give them, the better. If you've got a family that's totally behind it, then you may not have to worry about it. But either way, your parents want to know pretty soon. So I just say that because I've seen a lot of that as a problem in my own ministry, where students kind of drop that bomb on their parents out of the blue. So.
And one of the big things about talking to your parents about it is that most of you, if you have cars, we're going to ask that you bring your car. Because you're going to have a job, and there's going to be some people that won't have cars, and we're going to have to share, you know, with transportation and things like that. And so likely your parents are going to be like, you want me to let you drive to Denver or Costa Mesa this summer? You know, so you need to talk with them, you know, about that. So that's getting it there early.
Don't bring cars that are just completely dilapidated. Yeah, that we've had every year. There's somebody that has some kind of car trouble. So don't bring your minivan that's from 1972 that has exhaust problems. So. Try to do it within a week and a half, 2 weeks, because we'll have that first wave. Hopefully everybody will turn it in on February 1st. And you'll know really quick. So. Well, it might change, but every year we've had the same setup. I know that in Costa Mesa, they're working with us on us being able to use some different dormitories. Costa Mesa has a quad-style living arrangement with some apartments. That means quad means a lot more people, usually about 8. So, but broken up into different teams and stuff like that. The Colorado Christian has 2-bedroom apartments,
And they're right there on campus. They're at Colorado Christian, overlooking a duck pond. You know, it's beautiful. So that's kind of, and they all have kitchens. And that's the thing is, and with working as in community groups and or whatever we're going to call them, you'll be teamed with some other people, and you guys will cook, you'll clean together. There's chores. I mean, it's a lot of accountability. You know, doing your part to keep things clean and up, you know, uptight. Maybe some of you might think, but it is part of the summer. We've never, I never said that, but we've got about 50 in each one at the max we would go with. So that would be a great summer. If we could have 100 students do project, that'd be awesome.
But it is limited. That's why you should get your apps. It's first come, first serve. I mean, they review the application. You can get turned down for whatever criteria they have. Basically kind of first come, first serve. So the sooner you get your app in,
I think I might have misspoke there too. I'm not saying that we are going to try to have 100. 100 would be great if we had a lot of people that were qualified to go, because just because you fill out an application doesn't necessarily mean that you automatically get to do it. But at the same time, there is, you know, we would like to have anywhere from 25 to, you know, 50 at the most that were at a project. Questions? Anything? You want to pray for us?
Father, we come as sons and daughters of yours in Jesus' name, as we were reminded this morning. We're going to believe you. We don't have to ask you to guide us. We believe you already do. We're going to ask you to open our eyes to see where it is you're leading. I pray for these students that they would be courageous and wise in making the decisions they need to make, and would be very prudent and would trust you that there's some real assets to summer training programs. But not everybody needs to go to a summer training program, and that doesn't eliminate them from you developing them in the full character of Christ. And so, Lord, I pray you'd help them make prudent decisions that are free from the pressure of keeping up with their friends, or trying to impress somebody, or whatever secondary inferior motivation, but rather they would do something because there is a deep confidence that I'm being led by God. So would you open their hearts and their minds, bring wise counsel to them that give them very, very good and timely advice. And then I pray for their parents, that as they approach them, that they could do it in a very honoring way. And as a result, years from now, Dad and Mom are saying, this was one of the best things our son or daughter ever did. And it would be a tremendous testimony to them. In Jesus' name, amen.